It's the Pop-matic podcast for July.
Whoa, time warp.
This is a way future one. Whoa.
It's hot outside.
I am bad at things.
F1 salute our alien overlords.
When they took over in June.
That was a rough month in June.
And luckily, you know, Crystal, RIP.
Let's go back and listen to this in 6 months to see which one of us is dead.
Not it.
See, I'm not Mike. I'm his clone, Mitch.
Mitchell Smith.
It's the Pop-matic podcast for January 7th,
2014.
2015. Take three. Thanks for playing
our game. Never ends. It just goes on.
Do you like a check?
I am bad at things. Three strikes and you're out, guys. It is the Pop-matic podcast for January 7th, 2015.
Woo-hoo! Woo! 15.
It's a whole new year.
Quinceañera.
Happy New Year.
Ish.
This is the Pop-matic podcast where you can rock out with your library card out. I'm Brian, and joining me today are
Jeremy,
Mike,
Bill,
Amanda.
We're going back to the future today. We're going to give you the heads up, what to keep an eye out for in 2015, which is this year, apparently. And maybe a look back at the 2014 that was. Who knows? The future is unwritten. But one thing we do know for sure is that
Movies at Maine, Saturday, January 10th. 2015 at 2 p.m. in our main auditorium. This is the Nashville Public Library, 615 Church Street. Boy, have we got a vacation for you. We're showing the movie Westworld. Welcome to Westworld, the fantasy resort where nothing can go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong. The late Michael Crichton wrote and directed this sci-fi western thriller starring Richard Benjamin, James Brolin, Yul Brynner. Watch it before the new HBO series Westworld comes out. Once again, Saturday, January 10th, 2015 at 2 p.m. Also listen to our podcast, Legends of Film. I have an interview with the producer of the movie, Westworld, Paul Lazarus.
Right, it is a whole new year. We're going to tell you what to keep an eye out for. We're going to start with books, then we're going to do music, and then we're going to do movies, TV shows, other stuff that happens on screen. Jeremy, what you got?
There's a book I'm looking forward to that's coming out, I think, in February of this year, called Girl in a Band by Kim Gordon. It's a memoir from the former bassist of Sonic Youth, but Kim Gordon is a lot more than that. She's a visual artist. She makes a lot of noise. She's a fashion icon, a mother, and can I say all-around bad? Can I say bass? Are we allowed to say bass?
You can say it.
Either can or you've just been bleeped three times.
Well, yes, exactly.
I meant to ask you beforehand.
Since you've said it over and over, I mean, it's almost really funnier if I beep it. Like, for instance, that'll end up sounding really funny.
And you did bleep my on when I did that. Seven. So, yeah, you will be bleeped.
Damn hell.
Smart.
Anyway, Kim Gordon is awesome, and she has a book out. And her book details her life story, her early years in California, her moving to New York, and of course her time in the band Sonic Youth. And that band is a huge influence on the alternative rock, indie rock of the 90s and 80s. There's a little bit of a tabloid element to the book. Unfortunately, she was married to the guitar player in that band, and their marriage dissolved in 2011 after 27 years. But that's not really part of the story. That has dominated the story of anything related to that band, which is now on an indefinite hiatus. But she's lived a long life immersed in music and art, and I really am interested to see how her sort of signature growling vocal style translates to the written page. That doesn't really make a lot of sense, though.
You're right. It doesn't. But I'm looking forward to that book, too. You know, it also, you know, this came out this year. We are recording this in 2014, hence my confusion. But is Viv Albertine's memoir, mm-hmm. Music, 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 Boys, 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 Boys close, 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 or some variation thereof. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to reading that, too. So
Girl in a Band. Check it out.
What you got, Mike?
Well, the book that I'm most looking forward to this year that's not part of a series, it's a standalone book, is called Joe Steele by Harry Turtledove. Turtledove is a master of the alternate history genre, so it seems like nearly every book he writes is about, like, aliens invading during World War II or the World War I fought between the Confederacy and the United States. But this one, Joe Steele, is where Joseph Stalin becomes president of the United States in the 30s. I'm curious because, you know, to be president, you had to be born in the United States. It's actually in the Constitution. So I'm curious as to how he becomes president. But that could be like a plot point, like, you know, maybe he faked his birth certificate or something like, to that effect.
Maybe his parents brought him to Russia from America secretly.
He said, according to the plot description, he's the child of Russian immigrants. So maybe he was born here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. As I recall, the plot description says something effective like FDR dies. He dies in a fire. Sounds very internet. And so, like, the Democrats nominate a mysterious guy named Joe Steele to become their candidate in the 30s. He becomes president, and then he starts coming up with these work camps. Ooh, scary. Sounds interesting. You know, I've liked a lot of his stuff before. I'm curious to see how it goes.
Of Harry Turtledove's entire bibliography, how much have you read?
Because there are lots.
More than half, I guess.
Ooh, that's a pretty good
I mean, that's probably more than most other authors, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. He writes a couple books a year. Some of his series I like more than others. I really liked the Civil War, Confederacy versus United States thing. We do have in the collection World War in the Balance, which is the first of the Aliens Invade During World War II series. That's some really cool standalones, too. Like, there was one where the Spanish Armada invades England, and the whole thing is from Shakespeare's perspective. He's been asked to create a play to incite the public into rioting against the Spanish. It was really good. Ruled Britannia. What do you got today, Bill?
Well, what I'm looking forward to in 2015, book form-wise, is Finders Keepers by Stephen King, set to be published on June 2nd, 2015. It is the second book to focus on Detective Bill Hodges, his characters from Mr. Mercedes. It's a crime fiction book, and from what I read, it deals with the murder of a reclusive writer. You can put your hold right now on Finders Keepers, and if you have not read Mr. Mercedes, now would be a good time to do that. Finders Keepers by Stephen King. Like I said, put it on hold now. Amanda.
Okay, so a little different. I've always kind of been a fan of the fractured fairy tale, where you take the story that everybody knows and you kind of twist it a little bit. And so the series I'm going to talk about, I just finished the first book yesterday, actually. This is The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer. The first book in the series is called Cinder. Not surprisingly based on the story Cinderella, except now Cinderella's a cyborg. And she lives in New Beijing, and she's a mechanic. I remember when this book came out in 2012, and I remember everybody being, oh my gosh, I gotta read this book. When is this book coming out? I gotta read it. I wanna read it. Give it to me. And I was like, what? I didn't get it. I was like, and I think it's partially because I confused it with, there's another writer called Melissa Marr who wrote the Wicked Lovely series. And these are all young adult books, by the way, which kind of makes them cooler, I think. I was like, well, I read that. I didn't love that. And so, but they're two separate writers. Melissa Marr wrote Wicked Lovely. Marissa Meyer wrote The Lunar Chronicles. So the second book in the series is Scarlet, and I'm like 20 pages into that one. And it's kind of the story of Little Red Riding Hood. And there are big bad wolves that are like soldiers for the evil queen. I'm kind of interested to see where that goes. Then there's a third book called Crest, which I think, as far as I can tell, is about Rapunzel, but I didn't want to do too much info because I didn't want the spoiler alert to know how the one I'm reading now is going to come out. There is a short, there's shorts in between all of these that she has published on her website. And there's a short coming, I think this is actually going to be in book form though, called Fairest, which comes out in January 27th. And then in November, fingers crossed, hopefully there'll be a new book called Winter. So, and I have no idea what that one's about because I'm not going anywhere near that. Spoiler alert. These are definitely good. They're funny. I was actually listening to this in my car and it was going too slow for me. Like the plot was picking up and I kept having to wait to be in my car. So I'm like, I just checked out the book. I finished like the last 100 pages. I'm like, screw it. I'm going to read it. It will grab you. It does pull you in. Interesting twists here and there. Obviously set in the future where cyborgs and humans are coexisting together, but definitely worth checking out. I guess all those people in 2012 were right.
Have you ever read the Fables comic book?
I haven't. I know what you're talking about, but I have not read them.
There's a book too by Catherine Valente called Six Gun Snow White, I think. Mm. Have you read? It's like a Snow White mm-hmm. as a Western. I heard really good stuff about it.
Well, I've wanted to watch too the Once Upon a Time, the TV series.
Oh, yeah.
But because that was one when it came out, I didn't want to get into it right away. I wanted to watch it, but I mean, they're going to cancel it. If I watch it, they'll cancel it, and then I won't have satisfaction.
Welcome to my world.
So yeah, so now we're two plus seasons in, so I need to go back now and catch that up.
Semi-related, is anybody watching Penny Dreadful?
Yes,
good.
That was
thumbs up, thumbs down.
As I told my sister about halfway through the season, I wanted to have it sex babies. So.
Okay, excellent.
That got weird, but okay.
Yeah, no.
It's maybe the best adaptation of the Frankenstein myth I've seen.
Is there another kind of baby?
Right. Well,
some more babies.
I would have babies. That'd be difficult. That's what I'm saying. I'd be implanted by.
There's test tube babies.
Okay,
that's
true.
Clone things.
That's true. Okay.
You know, some other organisms, like very simple cell organisms, just split apart.
It's kind of trashy, but I mean, trashiness is in the title of the show.
Well, Penny Dreadful are supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their motivation in life. So,
it's a Frankenstein deal?
Frankenstein, Dracula, Dorian Gray, and werewolves, all in Victorian England. That's like they wrote it for Tween Mike. Hey, Tween Mike, what would you like to see?
Oh, Frankenstein and Dracula.
Oh, and the vampires are all like Egyptian spells turn them into vampires. Huh. So it's almost like a mummy vibe, too. It's
wow.
Like,
twofer. We call that a twofer.
Yeah.
Well, snob me is not interested in that at all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm definitely going to watch that. I have season one on hold. I'm really excited about it. But back to books. So the books that I'm looking forward to this year, for one, The Sarah Book by Scott McClanahan. I talked about him on the last podcast. It is interesting about The Sarah Book. I think this is the first book he's written since he actually has a for real, quote unquote, pro New York literary agent. But he's still going to publish it on Tyrant Books, a really, really small press. But The Sarah Book, he was writing it for his wife. And since then, he's actually got divorced and married another writer.
Awkward.
But he's still publishing this book called The Sarah Book. I'm really fascinated by that. I don't know if this is going to be in the book, but he's written at least one article that I'll try to link to it about. He knew his marriage to his first wife wasn't going to work because she didn't like Little Jimmy Dickens. And he's from West Virginia. And Little Jimmy Dickens is from West Virginia. And she
refused. It's a small state.
she refused to acknowledge the genius of Little Jimmy Dickens.
Maybe he was speaking metaphorically.
And he knew that their marriage was not going to last. I will put out that he is a fiction writer, so take it or leave it.
You think he would have found that out before they got married.
<That's right.
but.
laughs>
You can't put The Sarah Book on hold, but I'm sure it's going to be published.
It's called The Sarah Book?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then also what you can put on hold right now is Get in Trouble, new collection of short stories by Kelly Link, and a new Kelly Link collection is definitely something to get excited about. Anyone have any music picks?
There's a new Slater Kinney record coming in the spring, first in almost 10 years. That's pretty exciting.
That's very exciting that there's a new Slater Kinney album. And, you know, I've mentioned this before, but the Grimes record has been delayed since Grimes scrapped her album plans. Hopefully, sometimes this year, the new Grimes will come out. I'm super excited about that. Movies! Who likes movies?
Me.
All right.
I got a few.
Movies are dumb.
Yeah.
Oh.
The TV shows count?
Yeah.
I am looking forward to the end of Mad Men because it's ending.
Because you liked it so much?
I do.
No, yeah, I because you're just happy it's over.
I didn't hear about it anymore.
Stupid show. Don Draper.
Yeah, that's right. I push him out a window. That way you can have the beginning
a good
of the
ending.
Show. Yeah.
No, maybe that's what's going to happen. Who knows? Brian and I and Jesse talked about TV show endings recently. We were talking about True Detective. And Jesse said that he kind of thought that that show, and I tend to agree with him, like the atmosphere was really amazing and it was creepy and all this stuff. But then he said it was undermined by an ending that was sort of out of CSI Miami. That was kind of true. Like the ending of it wasn't important. It was sort of the ride. And I tend to think that that is truth because television shows are notoriously difficult to end. And we're sort of only now in a phase.
See, also Lost.
Yeah. See, I didn't have like a major problem with the ending of Lost. I just had a problem that it dragged on for so long. But I still enjoyed it like as a total experience.
Except they told us, they're like, oh, it's not that. And then it was totally bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was
but,
I got right.
But that's the thing. It's like we're only now in a period where shows are routinely sort of built to end. And even then, they're not built always specifically with an ending in mind.
I've noticed that about American television.
Sure.
You know, they just kind of wing it as they go along.
Yeah, but there's like
really
a there's like
of
a,
an ending.
There's a vague ending. And I feel like this show has been very controlled from the beginning by the creator, and like he's not stepped away or anything.
It helps. It's on the cable channel.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not...
I'm looking forward to seeing how it ends. It's pretty obvious, like, they're all sort of heading toward a collision with the 1970s because it sort of began at the beginning of the 60s.
Watch out. Disco's coming. Watch
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's right. Big cyber.
I don't know what that means in the narrative. I mean, I understand numerically what that means.
Well, no. I mean, I think that this is what I wrote. Obviously, the 70s is the chronological ending of the 60s. But, I mean, I think if you think about our culture and the way that we look back, the 60s, and I wrote it in all caps, our idea of the 60s sort of dies. I forget where I read it. It was like 1972 is like the official end of the 60s as we think. And so they're obviously sort of heading out of that sort of like they've gone from this innocent Kennedy era thing into like the assassination and that malaise and then like the psychedelic stuff and then all the racial and gender stuff going on. So like that larger cultural thing is sort of all going on in the background. And then I don't know if you guys even watch the show?
I got four episodes in and was like,
three seasons in and like, I was like,
they've been like the moon landing was sort of the season that ended. But that's one of the big markers of this past season. It's not like a focus or whatever. I feel like it's going to end on New Year's Day 1970 or something like that. I have no idea what's going to happen. But like the show has been obviously about that larger cultural thing, but then on a smaller scale, it's been about Dick Whitman's transformation from the character of Don Draper into like the real person of Don Draper. And that's not always been a great thing for him. I'm really eager to find out where he ends up and what happens to him.
So what did you say to me when I talked about Maleficent last week? Do you remember what you said? You were like, I don't want to. I don't want to bring you down. So Jeremy, I don't want to bring you down. But
I don't want to wreck your name.
Oh wow! Counterpoint.
I really like the
podcast gets interesting.
I really like the first couple of seasons of Mad Men.
Uh-huh.
But I do feel like if I was going to pick a show that was just the epitome of a show that totally got lost and doesn't know what it's writing about, like it's Mad Men, because the actual beginning of that show was about the fact that Don Draper had a secret identity, and the other character was Peggy, and we've actually talked about this a lot about I liked it when it was about Peggy.
Yeah.
And Don had this big secret, and then they revealed the secret. It's kind of like, well, who killed Laura Palmer? Well, guess what? No one cares that Don Draper's Dick Whitman. Big spoiler for the first three seasons, I guess, or the first two. Right. And now the show is just like drunk people acting mean to each other, which
with
is
really cool clothing.
Like, with nothing new in the history of American TV at all, other than the clothes. Which is the clothing designer's someone from here in Tennessee. I can't remember their name. I apologize.
But we have a book about their Mad Men
yes,
fashion.
Yes, we do. Yeah, it's pretty neat, actually.
And I'm still watching it just because I am curious how it ends.
Yeah.
But I think for me, in my head, it's an example of the best show that got extremely terrible.
Oh,
like when I watch I'm watching the episodes of the final season now, and I'm like, this is just like, I'm talking to my partner. I'm like, do we want to sit through more of these? We're just like, well, maybe we
I did that in season three, like, and I said no. Yeah.
But anyway, that's just me. Obviously, a lot of people love Mad Men, and I'm sticking around for the end because I think the ending will probably be cool.
Yeah, I think that it's like anything else. It was better at the beginning, but I think it has maintained a consistent quality despite getting away from its initial thrust.
I've heard of 10 ups and downs.
I mean, yeah, it's like
anything.
Any episode that focused on Betty was horrible, pretty much.
Poor Betty.
She became the kind of character that I actively disliked.
Like Don Draper? You like Pete? You want to be like Pete?
Exactly.
You want to be like Roger? Like, the only character that has admirable qualities is Joan. And even...
But she's awful, too.
And even...
It's because she's attractive. Yeah,
no. Flashing back to why I quit after four episodes. I don't like all these people.
Most people are awful and kind of miserable and don't like being that way.
Even Peggy, like, has turned into this evil troll. She's like this racist pig to her secretary. I don't like. It's just like, yeah, okay. Everyone's just turning more and more evil.
That's a journey. That's an arc. I think that's where we're all going.
Mine was the opposite of the concave. Like the, this is a good journey. This is a bad journey.
They're gonna, sort of end up back where they began. Don's just gonna be smoking.
I was kidding myself for like not keeping up with that show because it's still in the cultural consciousness that people are still talking about it. But then I hear stuff like this, and it's like maybe I dodged a bullet. You know?
Well, I mean, it's,
I'm really okay with it. Yeah. Like, no, I'm good.
You dodged a bullet.
when at its best, it is amazing. It really is, and I can't even speak to why I think that. It's just like
you told us why you thought everyone was depressed and miserable.
I guess so.
Rocked your world.
Like, hell yeah.
I want to get drunk and lie to somebody. Let's watch Mad Men.
That's why I don't drink and lie to people. I get to take that out with my television shows. I think because I'm spoiler alert, I'm a white guy and like all these all these shows are about like white men with like whatever sort of terrible thing that you got. Breaking Bad, you got Dexter, Mad Men, and like all these shows. And I watch it, and I'm like, yeah, I really want to kill people. I'm like, yeah, I really want to sell drugs and make money.
So you're just easily malleable, basically.
I think so. I think it's like I'm so like narcissistic and whatever, like belly gazing that I'm like, I see myself in that. Yeah, absolutely.
You relate to absolutely. That.
Different podcast. Mike, Mike, what do you got?
Speaking of drunks from the 60s, movie I'm most looking forward to, movie, not television show, movie I'm most looking forward to, other than possibly Jupiter Ascending and Inherent Vice, is Spectre. Ooh, the latest James Bond adventure. Oh, boy. So excited.
Is Daniel Craig still James Bond?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's stuck in there for another at least two movies. Anyway, I remember way back in '06 when at the end of Casino Royale, that minor spoiler alert, I guess. The chief was working for a shadowy secret terrorist organization that rivals governments in its region of power. And I was like, Spectre's back. Squee. I'm not being so childishly excited until Thanos was revealed at the end of Avengers. Spoiler, maybe? Spectre, or the Special Executive for Counterintelligence, Terrorism, Revenge, and Extortion, because it's an acronym, was one of the most primary foes of James Bond for a while in the 60s. According to trusty Wikipedia, Ian Fleming thought that this whole Cold War thing was going to resolve in a couple of years.
Nailed it.
I believe he said in 2 years, by the mid-60s. So he decided to think up, like, what kind of, you know, let's create a third, an evil terrorism organization that could, you know, be a credible antagonist to a spy agency.
That would never happen.
Yeah, pish posh. I read an article once that said that Osama bin Laden was actually inspired by Spectre.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It was trained by the CIA, right?
Yeah, see, you know.
Spoiler alert.
Osama bin Laden.
That's true.
Wait, we're still in the 60s.
Yeah, quite you. its leader, Blofeld, was the bald guy striking a cat that Dr. Evil lampooned in the Austin Powers movies. My favorite was Donald Pleasance, even though I have yet to see. The only movie I haven't seen is on Her Majesty's Secret Service, where he's played by Telly Savalas. That's in my, like, to-watch queue. Let's see. Unfortunately, due to their seemingly never-ending legal battle between producer/scam artist Kevin McClory and Even Productions and MGM, Spectre and Blofeld could not be used for a long time, since, like, the early 70s. I believe it was Diamonds Are Forever was the last one with Actually, For Your Eyes Only had Blofeld at the very beginning, but he was not credited. oh, so nerdy. Couldn't be you, so they went with Quantum and as the shadowy evil organization in Quantum of Solace. Ugh. Just mentioning Quantum makes my face crunch up. Goody, Quantum. Ugh. Who cares about Quantum? Goody. That's not cool. I'll be Spectre. But McClory is dead. Yay! And Eon/MGM bought the rights to use Spectre again. Will Christoph Waltz be Blofeld? He is emphatically denying it, but after J.J. Abrams warned a stack of Bibles that the obvious plot twist wasn't going to happen in Star Trek Into Darkness, I don't trust filmmakers as much as I used to. I hope they cap the leaders of Quantum in the face.
Got rowdy in that corner.
At the first seed of Spectre, but who knows? It's supposed to come out in November. What have you got, Bill?
Well, movies I'm looking forward to, very briefly, 2015, Crimson Peak, directed by Guillermo del Toro, which hits theaters October 16th, 2015. It stars Jessica Chastain, Tom Hiddleston. What I've read, it's a creepy tale that takes place in Victorian England. And I'm doubly excited because it's directed by the man who made Kronos and Pan's Labyrinth. I've got my horror geek on. The other one I'm looking forward to is Michael Mann, the man who made Thief and The Insider and Heat. is back with a new thriller called Black Hat. Its release date is January 16th, 2015. The basic premise is American and Chinese agencies work together to track a cyber criminal. Not very timely, just kidding. But this movie stars Chris Hemsworth. You know him better as Thor. And the last movie is Spectra, and I have nothing to add.
You're taking it all. Totally
except you, the correct date is November 6, 2015. Oh. So that's when Spectra, and I'm looking forward to it too.
Oh boy, oh boy.
I'm surprised it wasn't a summer movie.
They're always premiering in November.
That's the James Bond rule?
Yeah.
Yes. I read that the Bond, the lady is going to be Monica Bellucci,
yeah,
who is actually older than
she
James
is
Bond.
The Matrix movie.
That's kind of an amazing thing.
But it also has the French actress from Blue is the Warmest Color.
Oh, that's what she's 12 from. Or something?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Normally
I assume Monica Bellucci is the evil one. And, you know,
oh, maybe.
In the second Matrix movie, she's the wife of the Merovingian.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Well, rocking it old school.
I read where they've been trying to get her to do a Bond for a long time. Amanda.
Yeah, I just want to mention briefly, because apparently today is fairy tale day in my world.
I've got caps, you've got fairy tales.
That's right. Little Red Riding Hood, you've got a gun. I would just mention the Into the Woods movie. It's in theaters now as we are recording this, so I am looking forward. I don't know if I'm going to – I haven't decided if I'm going to go to the theater to see it yet. I'm kind of – my friend saw it, and I'm kind of waiting to see what she says before I cough up $15 to go see it. But I'm definitely looking forward to the DVD coming out when it does, because I think it's got just a ton of people. And I had actually never seen – like, I know the songs, but I've never seen the whole show.
I have on Broadway.
Whoa.
One for Bill.
Bill just pulled the snob card.
He did. Snob card.
Even upturned the nose and everything.
Wow.
La-di-da.
I've been Bill.
You got Play Bill.
I got Play Bill. Yeah.
I think if we ever do a video version of this podcast, there actually should be a snob card. Like, everyone gets one at the beginning of the show.
They can play it
once per episode. And be like, nice. Well, actually, I've interviewed the director of that film before, and he said that actress was a total. Anyway.
So yeah, Into the Woods.
I'm going to see Into the Woods, Into the Theater. Uh-huh. Wait, what did I say?
Into the Woods, Into the Theater.
I'm going to see Into the Woods in the theater, and actually I told my partner, I was like, I'm not seeing that horrible third Hobbit movie. I was like, we're going to see Into the Woods.
It is much better spent.
And if, you know, if you don't like that, then you're not getting any presents this Yule time. So, okay. But back to the small screen, what is going to happen supposedly in 2015 are new episodes of Twin Peaks, which is mind-blowing. I just teased it on one of the other episodes. You
I thought it was 2016.
I might be confused.
I heard earlier this week that a character in the last episode of Twin Peaks said she will return in 25 years.
Yes.
It will be next year or something.
Yes.
Which is like amazing.
This year.
Correction.
The show took place earlier than when it aired too, right?
Well, if you're going by like real world dates, like I think 25 years is 2015. Or it might even been 2014, because I thought for the 25 year, it seemed like what they did was they finally released the Blu-ray with the pilot movie, all the episodes, the film, and then outtakes from the film, outtakes from the prequel film. Mm-hmm. And the outtakes from the prequel film were sort of the holy grail for Twin Peaks fans, and they were never officially released, but they were finally, and I think that was, well, if we don't get the show made, this will come out at the 25-year anniversary, because one of the characters, the aforementioned Laura Palmer, did say she would see Dale Cooper again in 25 years. So I believe it's the core creative team is back, David Lynch and Mark Frost, and all the actors who are still alive. I believe a few have passed on, but I'm sure they will be there in spirit. Nothing like Twin Peaks. It was super original, super influential, and a joy to watch. You can watch it over and over. So that's on the small screen.
There's a book coming too, right? You said? Mark Frost is writing a novel that sort of bridges the gap between the old show and the...
That would be awesome.
I'm pretty sure that's the deal.
I've been accused of David Lynch fanboyism, and I can tell you that David Lynch cannot write a film script, so it'd be really good if Mark Frost wrote that novel. Okay. The other movie I'm excited about is a movie that I think actually technically premiered in 2014, but that is Alex Cox's super small budget kickstarted version of Build a Galactic Hero.
Oh, that's coming out. Yeah, I remember the Kickstarter was out. I was thinking about,
you know,
Harry Harrison.
I did not back it, and it's one of those deep regrets that I did not back it on Kickstarter, but I'm so excited that it's coming out. He actually made it with his film students at the University of Colorado, and at the time he actually said they were actually going to edit the whole movie on the open source video editor OpenShot, which is what the library makes some of their YouTube videos with. And I can say I would be very surprised if they did a whole movie in that video editor. And I know
that was a short film. Is it a complete feature length? Or
I believe it was I thought it was going to be a feature length. It might be a short film.
Okay.
Even if it was a short film, editing it in OpenShot would be very difficult.
You can try it in the next episode. Unless they did
one take. And but we'll see. But we'll see.
Yeah, those books are pretty funny.
Like, oh yeah, I
Bill great. Gets his arm cut off and he gets it replaced with another right arm, so he's got two right arms.
Yes, it's really, really good stuff. The only other thing I was kind of going to mention, this came up, was you know, The Martian is coming out, and I think we're actually seeing a sort of emergence of a new genre, like space realism, with gravity and moon and...
Well, and that's good, because then the Star Wars will come out and kill all that again.
Yes, gravity.
Yeah. Gravity. Cycle. It's a vicious cycle.
It is.
Gravity.
Interstellar.
Interstellar, yeah.
Yeah, Star Wars comes out at Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So a year?
I'm going James Bond, man.
Yeah. There was like a question in one of the forums. It's like, what do you say for Spectre or the new Star Wars? I'm like, Spectre?
Let me think about that.
Yeah, I watched the teaser trailer once for Star Wars and was like, that seems okay. Yeah.
There's I think on the Netflix that Daredevil TV show is coming on. I wrote that on my sheet too. Yes. I don't know if all those Marvel shows are premiering this year, but I know Daredevil. I guess Daredevil.
Like just on Netflix or on?
Yeah, not
TV, but on the
same time.
Yeah.
And then they're going to combine in an Avengers style movie. This is probably my tickle my fancy about a year ago.
Oh, yeah. I think I said on an earlier podcast, I have like pretty serious fatigue when it comes to all the superhero movies and stuff, because it doesn't do for me the same thing that comics do, but Daredevil is close to my heart.
Who's Daredevil?
Ben Affleck is Daredevil.
He was.
He's blind.
He's a blind lawyer.
No. I mean, who's the actor?
I'm sorry.
Oh. Well, I'm not that clever.
I actually don't know who. I don't know the guy who's playing.
You just seem really like, you know, I don't know who Daredevil is.
No, I meant who the actor was. Sorry, I should have been more specific.
You know, mansplained to her about comic books.
These days with pages that you
girls don't know about pictures. Comic books.
Girls know about comic books. My Little Pony.
There's
She-Ra,
a Buffy comic book.
Barbie.
Hello.
What else is for girls?
Archie.
Archie. Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah.
I'm just joking.
Wonder Woman's dumb.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's better. Actually, my favorite TV version would be the one from the Incredible Hulk TV movie.
Oh,
he's basically a ninja.
Yeah.
Hulk ninja.
Well, it won't have to do anything to really be better than that movie that came out in 2003. Too. That movie was pretty awful. Tickling my fancy this week, I started reading a book called Salvation on Sand Mountain, Snake Handling and Redemption in Southern Appalachia.
Amen.
By Dennis Covington. I am from Kentucky, and I never thought of myself as being from the South, even though, you know, you can argue
Kentucky
about whether or not Kentucky is
from
when
I lived in Kentucky, I was all confused. I'm like, you know, they think they're in the South, but I can't buy grits in the grocery store.
It's
a nightmare.
It's the South, but not, I think. But I never felt like I was from the South until I moved to the West, to the Southwest. And then I moved, and everyone was like, oh, you're from the South. And I thought, yeah, I'm from the South. And then I moved back to the South, to Nashville, and I'm like, I'm not from the South. And so it's very confusing. And part of that confusion is because I never had a lot of experience with what people might associate with the South, like church, backsliding, and snake handling. And that sort of made me feel very disconnected. And then so since I've had this sort of realization, I've been really fascinated by all the weird darkness in the South and the light that people try to shed on it. And so this book, I'm not very far into it, but so far has been really great.
Like a nonfiction?
It's a nonfiction, nonfiction book by Dennis Covington, was a writer, journalist in Alabama.
I don't know, I thought you were going like Southern Gothic, you know.
Oh.
I had some dark stuff.
I've read some like contemporary sort of Southern Gothic things and stuff that's actually more geographically appropriate to me. There is a book called Crimes in Southern Indiana by Frank Bill. It's short stories. And then also another one called Knock 'em Stiff by Donald Ray Pollock. And he's from Ohio, so sort of surrounding me. It's a lot of bad.
Say not South.
A lot of bad folks. No, not Southern, but definitely a lot of meth and you know, bad teeth.
Go Hoosiers.
So yeah. So Mike, what's tickling you?
You know, after dark.
Penny Dreadful, apparently.
Yeah, Penny Dreadful. Yeah, I was going to see if we were doing a TV segment, that would have been my TV show, and I'm looking forward to season two.
Oh, Penny Dreadful, take me away.
Anywho, I got two links I'm going to send Brian later. Over the course of my research for this episode, I found some articles of note. One of those is 8 books to read before they come movies in 2015. Highlights include Inherent Vice, which I'm really, really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too.
And the aforementioned Martian. Highlights for Moi. And the other article is on it's not really an article per se. It's a list on Goodreads called Can't Wait, Sci-Fi Fantasy of 2015, which is where I found Joe Steele. A lot of it's kind of series-y stuff. I forgot that George R. R. Martin's coming out with a new Song of Ice and Fire book this year. And good stuff.
We got Bill.
Well, tickling my fancy is Dick Cavett. Wait a minute.
Literally?
Dick Cavett. You can't get enough Dick.
Dick Cavett tickled my fancy last week with his book, Brief Encounters, Conversations, Magic Moments, and Assorted Hijinks. Yes, well, on this podcast, I'm highly recommending the DVD, Dick Cavett's Watergate. If you think you know everything about Watergate, Dick Cavett's Watergate offers some fresh perspective. Also, I'm looking forward to season 3 of Orphan Black, since I didn't get to mention my television show. Amanda.
This isn't necessarily something I'm looking forward to. This is something I just found this last week that tickled my fancy, and I totally want to share it with you because you'll geek out with me, hopefully. Looking around for things on Spotify, I came across this group called Epic Rap Battles of History.
I just got into those.
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike's with me. We're going to geek out together.
I had like a whole afternoon where I just wanted
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. and I don't know, are there videos for them?
Yes, it's on YouTube.
I haven't checked. I totally want to look them up.
They dress in full costume and yell at each other.
Some honorable mentions. My favorite one is Ghostbusters versus Mythbusters.
Yes. Yes.
That's a hands down Ghostbusters.
I know, right?
Yeah, right. Totally.
Yeah, you know,
that's
the only people.
Mythbusters take the side of Walter Peck, and you lost me right there. I'm sorry. I also enjoyed the Mozart versus Skrillex. It's exactly what you think it would be. And there's a ton of them. There's also the picture right of that was the Oprah versus Ellen, which I have not listened to that one yet.
The Renaissance Masters versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm.
Is not only funny, but an actually good song that I listened to quite a few times.
Very peppy.
Even here at work.
Nice. So you're looking for Epic Rap Battles of History. That's the name of the group. It'll be a fun afternoon of life.
These are people that I wish would put something out, and I don't know if they will. I don't know if they will put something out, but I'm hoping that they do. One, Nicola Griffith, sequels to Hild. If you read Hild, you may recall that Hild ends when Hild becomes the mistress of the Abbey. So are there going to be more in this world, or just more historical novels by Nicola Griffith?
Is that your Welsh novel that you geeked out about on one episode?
It's ancient England.
Yeah,
right?
It was
really
old school.
So really super excited about that. She hasn't said anything about that. But Bonnie Jo Campbell, I don't know anything about. She's still on Twitter. I'm really excited, but her blog has kind of gone dark. She doesn't update it. I haven't heard any PR things, but she's still on Twitter, still tweeting about writers and writing. I really wish she would put something out. Alison New had that really great line. I almost shouted at Jeremy, "I've been burned! I've been badly burned!" Which is a line from her story in her collection, American Salvage, which is in that sort of neo-noir country crime thing as Frank Bill's books.
Absolutely.
Caitlin Kiernan, I discovered her this year when I read The Drowning Girl. I wish she would publish some books. I think she's working on some comics. And she has not said what this is, but she's working with the director, Josh Boone, on something, the guy that directed The Fault in Our Stars, but she won't say what. So they've been hanging out working on a project together. There's really good pictures of them on the internet together with matching David Bowie shirts. I don't know what they're working on. I really wish Jonathan Lethem would write a new book. He's been working on a musical version of all the comic book that he wrote.
Omega the Unknown?
No.
Fortress of Solitude?
Yes. Yeah. They did a musical version of The Fortress of Solitude. I know that's been occupying his time, but I really wish he'd write another novel. And this novel that he wrote, Dissonant Gardens, you know, he really took his prose to some really next-level snobby literary places, and I loved
yeah,
it.
I skipped that one,
but
apparently it's good.
No, because the characters are all very it was just dismal, man. But, like, his writing, he's achieving something great. And, did you read Chronic City?
Oh.
Read it. Amazing. it's an amazing book.
I loved his early Philip K. Dick inspired, which explains why you like him. Stuff. Gun with occasional music.
It's funny. Like, I've never read this. I think only because I don't have enough time to read everything I want to read, right? But I've read many of his other books, and he's become one of my favorite authors. I hope he writes something new in 2015. I don't think there were any corrections that I knew, but Mike might have some nitpicks.
Yeah, I do have a few minor ones. Apparently, I got the characters of the Grand Budapest Hotel wrong, as the trailer that Brian put up said over and over, that it was Gustav H. and the lobby boy's name Zero Mustafa.
Wah, wah.
Hearing that I was wrong repeatedly for like 5 minutes was super awesome.
And did you learn?
Ironically, I edited it and even put the trailer in, and I didn't know. I didn't catch it.
Good one. And clarification, minor, you know, nitpick of myself, that I do like popcorn movies. It's just that the movie that I've recommended today is going to be the popcorniest popcorn movie that ever popcorned. But popcorn movies don't usually top my favorites of the year, so I'm less snobby than you think.
If you wonder what we're talking about, you can go back and listen to the old episodes of the Popmatic podcast. But for more information about all of the things the library has, you can go to
www.library.nashville.org.
And our theme music is by
Adam Dean.
All right. If you love us, the best thing you can do is give us 5 stars on iTunes. Now,
or send candy.
Exactly.
Ooh, candy.
We'll be back next week.
I did have pink hair once.
Nice.
But hopefully all those pictures have been burnt.
Dear Mike's dad, I have chocolate. I'm willing to bribe you.
Oh, man.
Andy Sipowicz from NYPD Blue for Halloween one year.
Yeah.
I dyed my hair, and then I shaved it bald all the way up the middle. And so the way that it's actually going now, I did it just completely bald.
Maybe that's what caused the bald.
I went around that day just like that, and I had blue, a police sort of clothes and a tie and a short sleeve shirt, and I had a little gun and stuff. And then the next day I just shaved it all down.
Did you bully people?
I did.
Did you walk into people would open the door and you'd slam them up against their wall?
I did.
I'd be like, give me the candy!
I had a drinking problem.
You show your ass a bunch.
I did.
I was going to say, did your come out of
kids.
When you left at the end of the scene, you dropped your pants.
Thanks for the candy. Pants drop.